Good morning, Marcus.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Thanks for joining me this morning. So first up, a bit of background. Can you explain exactly what happened with the PewDiePie video and why the reaction was so negative?
Yeah, no problem. So I think it was January the 11th, PewDiePie, who is actually, I think he's YouTube's sort of most popular sort of video vlogger. He posted a video. I hate even sort of describing it again, but essentially what he did was he got these two guys from South Asia to sort of hold up a placard proclaiming death to all Jews while they sort of danced and smiled, and he on another sort of footage in the background then sort of feigned sort of disbelief, going, oh, I can't believe what they're doing. And what he'd essentially done is he'd used a website called Fiverr, which is a kind of freelance employment website. I think we have one similar one here in Australia, where you can just sort of hire people online to do sort of short-term odd jobs or whatever. And so it was ostensibly, it was an extremely anti-Semitic sort of gesture, but the intent on his part was clearly to basically sort of show how through these employment sites you could get people to do the craziest sort of things. And I think the important thing to sort of point out here is that, you know, on the one side you have his intention, and then on the other side you have the effect or the impact. And, you know, whilst his intention may not have been sort of, you know, anti-Semitic or nefarious, that doesn't stop the fact that the impact, you know, especially for Jewish people, you know, or any, you know, sort of, you know, decent-hearted person, has been, you know, sort of very, very offensive. Well, I hope that's a decent rundown for it.
Yeah, well, that's right. And I know that the sort of the incident got pulled into the dialogue of a lot of very serious alt-right and white supremacist groups, which is never what you want to see happening with something like that. Yeah, definite backfire. I mean, he made it clear that the joke went too far. A lot of people in the media have launched an attack on his style of presentation. And why do you think the media holds online personalities in the sort of regard that they do, in sort of low regard, I suppose?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, I don't want to sort of get sort of take sides in, you know, what seems quite obviously a conflict between, you know, legacy or old or traditional media on the one hand and then sort of new media on the other. But I think, you know, a lot of these guys obviously don't, you know, I think, you know, the Wall Street Journal broke the story, and it was actually the public outcry happened after the story rather than the video itself, which essentially kind of sat there for about a month, you know, just being watched by his young viewers who just thought it was a silly stunt or whatever. And so I think these journalists don't really, I think they find it a sort of a curious place that they're sort of trying to get their heads around more than anything else. And you know, and sort of their surveys of his work, you know, they sort of found what they would argue were other sort of anti-Semitic things. But we, you know, we looked at these things closely and, you know, to give a couple of examples, one which we go, just to give a little plug into our conversation article, which is online at the moment, you know, was actually him describing certain oppressive YouTube policies as being sort of Nazi-like. And so they lifted that out as an example of anti-Semitism. And then another example was, he was online playing a video game, I don't know if it was Minecraft or whatever it was, where all these people seemed to be putting up swastikas. And he was, and the video was actually called Stop It. And it was him sort of telling these kids or whatever to not be, you know, sort of putting that sort of imagery up online or whatever. So, and again, this was another video that they pulled out as an example of his alleged anti-Semitism.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, it seems like they've really, you know, clung on to that and run with it, which I guess it gets a bit murky.
It does.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it's very easy to make assumptions and just post comments and videos and things like that. But it seems like this case has showed a broader problem. Does it seem like the public are taking perhaps internet people a little bit too seriously and then going on to demonize the online medium altogether?
Well, I mean, in short, yes, I think so. I mean, I don't want to again, I kind of go back to what I was saying at the start, that, you know, you have intentions on the one side and you have impact on the other. And so, you know, when someone sort of engages in ironic humour, I think people, you know, people online, young people online, do need to be careful about, or at least sort of reflect on how that might be sort of interpreted by other people. But in terms of the bigger question of, you know, how people are sort of negatively characterizing, you know, youth online, I think you're right. But I think it also plays into a sort of historical thing in the sense that, you know, you could take any decade or any generation, and the older members of society are always looking at what the youth do and sort of seeing it as you know, a problem, you know, a sort of threat to social order. And then we look back in hindsight, whether it's with rock and roll or comic books or whatever, and we suddenly don't understand what all the fuss was about at the time. And I think there is an element of that in what's going on. But, you know, I have to be careful about saying something like that because, you know, in this particular instance, you know, the stunt that we were just talking about, it was, you know, it was an extremely offensive stunt. And, you know, to be fair to Felix or PewDiePie, he's very clearly sort of understood that in terms of his the apologies that he then put online, which again you can find a link to in our article on Conversation.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting. This issue seems like a very black and white topic in a very grey area discussion. So it's perhaps not the best example even.
Go on.
Given your experience, how do you think we can instill a more contextual perspective of online public opinion of being progressive and understanding and educational, but also calling out people like PewDiePie for their actions in perhaps a less extreme manner?
Yeah, I mean, the first part of the question, how can we kind of, show the good in online media? I'm not, you know, I don't have an answer for that because someone who looks at a lot of sort of online sort of youth stuff and new media stuff. I mean, one of the things that sort of led us to kind of wanted to discuss this, shout out to Steve Roberts, senior lecturer at La Trobe, who wrote the article with me, was, you know, the fact that we see so much, you know, kind of good progressive sort of discourse online that doesn't seem to get reported. And I mean, you know, the news is the news, so it sort of, it lifts out stories that it feels, you know, will sort of get hits or whatever. So I'm not sure how, you know, I mean, I think young people online are doing everything that they can, you know, generally speaking, to sort of, you know, show the good face of youth online. And I think maybe it's more a question of being up to, you know, the older journalists of media. I mean, I'm generalizing here because I'm not sort of saying all journalists are like 80 years old. A lot of them are sort of young people too. But I think it's, you know, it's a responsibility, you know, as with all these sorts of cases, it's the responsibility of the media to try and give some balance to how they, you know, talk about youth or talk about sort of online discourse. I think the characterization of online discourse as being entirely divisive and full of alt-right crazy people, you know, just doesn't sort of reflect the reality. There was a second part to your question. I've totally forgotten what it was now.
Well, it's just about how we should be calling out people like PewDiePie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, in this case, I mean, I think we have to, I mean, and we, me and Steve were trying to do this in the article, you know, we have to, and this is, as you say, this is all murky stuff. I think we have to distinguish between the people who have stuffed up and the people who have, you know, put something online that, you know, regardless of the intention has, you know, offended people or, you know, hurt people. And then distinguish between those people and then, you know, as you say, you know, there are these overtly racist, overtly bigoted alt-right voices online who are quite influential. And I guess the concern for me and Steve, in the PewDiePie case and in other cases, is what we were seeing was, you know, the former being lumped in with the latter. So this guy who did something stupid and offensive being painted essentially as an alt-right figure. And I don't think that, you know, for those of us on, you know, the light side rather than the dark side, I don't think it actually does us any, you know, favours to kind of push you know, people away for doing stupid things into groups, you know, that have that kind of dark agenda. I mean, if we were to take away the fact that PewDiePie, you know, is a celebrity and a very rich, you know, new media celebrity, he's essentially a 20-something young guy. And if, you know, hypothetically, if we took some sort of high school kid, for instance, who, you know, did something or said something racist, didn't realise or hasn't been educated or whatever it is to sort of realise the consequences of that or to understand the problems with his worldview, you know, as a teacher, if I was in a sort of high school context, you know, it wouldn't be very sort of productive for me to label that person for all time, you know, a racist, because, you know, as we know, you know, one of the things that sociology teaches us about labeling is that, you know, once you label a person that way, if they're sort of growing and experimenting with identity, you're very likely to push them into that label, and it becomes a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, it's definitely not what we want to see happening, especially with someone who has the most subscribers of any YouTube channel. It'd be pretty awful to see it turn into an alt-right channel.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think, thankfully, I don't think that's going to happen. But as you say, you know, this is the problem, is that you've had, you know, all these sorts of, I mean, not just alt-right, but, you know, into sort of neo-Nazi groups who are sort of like heralding him and saying, we need to back this guy up. And the concern there is that, you know, yeah, the if we on the other side sort of demonize or fully characterize him based on this one thing, then not only will it maybe push him in that area, but more importantly, it might push all the sort of younger, you know, sort of fans of him in that area.
Well, Marcus, thanks very much for joining me. It's a palette of greys, but it certainly makes for a good talking point. So I really appreciate your time to unpack all of that this morning.
No, absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.